Hi, my name is Abby Johns. I'm 19 years old. Today is March 30th, 2019, and I'm speaking with with Robert Menchaca, my boyfriend's dad. We're recording this interview in Blanket, Texas. So, Mr. Menchaca, how are you doing today?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, thank you. So I've heard that you've been involved with the government, and I would like to know a little bit about your experience with that.
Yes, ma'am. I was a government consultant for several years, still am, part-time now. And we do different kinds of problem programs, red programs, a lot of military weapons and development programs, as well as financial auditing and financial review type work. So.
That's awesome. So what is a significant event that has happened while you've been involved with the government?
Yes, ma'am. One of the project I did with the Army Reserve for the U.S. was a fires audit, F-I-A-R, and what it was the government as a whole on all military fronts decided to perform financial audits for efficiency, effectiveness, use of dollars, use of spending, use of manpower, and so trying to figure out where the dollars were going for a congressional mandate that had been put in place to make sure that military institutions and military operations are being run efficiently, effectively, reduce waste, you know, fine, fraud, things like that.
So. That's amazing. And when did this take place?
This one was in 2013, and it started at the end of 2012. It was supposed to be like a 3-week assignment, go down to Fort Dix and assist, that's Fort Dix, D-I-X, in New Jersey, and assist the Army Reserve with a kind of like a preparation before the audit. And so all of the military agencies were going to get an audit in about September through December of 13. And so there were some of the agencies were trying to prepare for this audit. What would, kind of like what if? What are they looking at? Financials, day-to-day account balances? Are they looking at manpower studies? Are they looking at use of funds on hand? Different kinds of studies for different kinds of work. And so what Fort Dix was asking us was to come through and create a system for them to repair their anomalies and then train their staff on how to use the latest financial tools that were in place. And so what had happened was the government was in a transition from one financial set of tools which consisted of about 40 different tools into one super tool, SAP base, GFIBS in particular is the acronym for it. GFEBS. And so what happened was the tools were, they were crossing function. People were still using the old tools, purchases. Some people were making purchases on the new tools, not completing them. And unfortunately, the tool itself, the new tool, is a phenomenal tool, very impressive, but very difficult to use, very difficult to train on. But a one-stop shop for reporting, same day, on time. If you look up SAP and its potential of use from manufacturing to bookkeeping to purchase requisition systems, it's an amazing tool. But it's a difficult tool to learn, and it's a difficult tool to customize.
Yeah. Right?
And so the government had, at some point in let's say 2010, had said, hey, everybody's going to use these tools. And this was beyond the request from the government to do an all military forces audit. So before the military forces were forced to have the audit or asked to have the audit, they were already trying to get better at business. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that, they asked me to go down for about 3 weeks, ended up turning into 18 months.
Oh my goodness.
But it was trying, the kids were young, and so I would travel up each week, come back each week. But as we went through, we helped them kind of We figured out what the problems were. We trained all their staff on how to correct them. Mm-hmm. And then we also implemented systems and rearranged staff to help the Army be able to maintain these purchases and the work and the manpower. And so there was multiple efforts. For example, they had the Army Reserve has lots of bases all over the place where they have, we have, you call your weekend warriors, for folks who are involved in enlisted as an Army Reservist, and they go once a weekend and do training, and 1 week a year, and they provide their training and their specialty as the basically the Army Reserve Forces for America, right? It's the largest military group in the country.
Yeah.
And so they get their money according to how many belly buttons are enlisted, and also those belly buttons according to how many bases they have. So they get allocation for bases based on people.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the biggest problems they had was they were tracking buildings but not tracking the appropriate number of people servicing that building.
Oh.
So when it all came out, there were, I would say, I don't know, it's in the billions of dollars. I can't tell you exact numbers, but it was multi-billion dollars of error with of funding that they were not receiving to the right departments.
Oh my goodness.
So you take that along with bad purchases, and that along with the lack of proper training for the staff, or the lack of discipline among the staff to use the right tools and learn the right tools. Because it's not just a, hey, I used the wrong tool this time because it was easier. It's discipline yourself to learn the right tool, make a difference with the job that you have. And these are sometimes contractors, but most of the time is either military personnel, military reservists, or civilians, right?
Yeah.
You know, what you call GS employees. And so in all those three areas, there just wasn't a rigor of how to perform the task at hand for all the departments, from real property to medical services to deployment activities to, you know, combat engagement. In any of the departments, no matter what their mission was, they still had issues on purchasing and reconciliation of purchases. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we basically went through, we helped them figure out, first off, the first thing they do is manpower.
Mm-hmm.
How many people, how many buildings, proper identification of those buildings and those number of belly buttons. After that, then we started looking at the purchases they were made, right? How they made purchases, where they made purchases, what tools they were using.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically they went down the line of types of purchases, types of spending of funds, and then the next level would be the colors of money. So the government uses different colors of money. So they call it like red, blue, green, yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the age of the money, it's the source of the money, it's the time frames of which the money can be spent.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1 year money, it's 2 year money, it's 3 year money. And there's a whole color chart out there that you could find and get a graphical representation of colors of money.
Yeah.
If it's congressional set aside, if it's a presidential set aside, if it's just standard funding. You know, for the last few years, the government hasn't had budgets. We're just now starting to get to a point where we have budgets again. All the Obama administration, they never had budgets. It was almost set-asides and continuing resolutions, which are, it's the same thing as a budget without a ratified budget.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the bottom line. So as we went through this project, we started figuring out that there was lots of holes in the accounting system.
Mm-hmm.
And my part was to bring a team together that would, one, correct all of the anomalies in the data,
mm-hmm.
you know, help them understand how those anomalies got there, correct what other auditors had done in the past,
mm-hmm.
So basically auditors would come in and make additional errors to decent data and make it worse. Does that make sense?
Oh, man, yeah.
So that was one part. And then the second part was, as they made those errors, well, then it also affected funding, because the Army would say, hey, the auditor came through, they helped us out, we drew this information out, and this is our number of belly buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the number of belly buttons was completely wrong.
Yeah. Right?
And so then they're getting funding according to a false number, right?
Oh, that's
so
terrible.
You think about how many years of impact this happened for. It was probably, I'd say 6 to 8 years of historical problems that they knew of. But it's probably been, you know, a systemic issue. It's probably been going on for years, right?
Yeah.
These entities are so big, and a lot of times they're in the Army, you have rotations, right? Mm-hmm. So somebody comes in, somebody goes out, somebody comes in, somebody goes out. So there's different commands, and it's a part of the problem was the way it's managed and how the information is developed and how the training and the staff that come to cover, they may have you have one colonel that comes in that his past was in flight. Well, yeah. Now he's in charge of financials, right? And he doesn't care about financials. He cares about flight, right?
Yeah,
and
he doesn't know anything either.
But that's what it takes for him to get the next promotion.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. And
nothing wrong with that. There's a progression to everything. So the civilian force and the contractor force is supposed to be the one that keeps him looking smart. Does that make sense? And sometimes that doesn't happen. And so a lot of times this was happening. So the general I was working for, he's a 2-star general. He had asked, "Hey, Robert, I'm in trouble. I don't know how to fix it, so I need you to help me fix it." Right? Mm-hmm. And so I put together a small team, all young college graduates. I mean, these guys were, had three women on the team and about 8 guys on the team. And everybody was, you know, except with the exception of one or two over 30, everybody was 22, 23 years old, right? Just smart kids from Penn State, University of Texas, just kids from all backgrounds, even all specialties of academic background too. So it's not all business majors. I had a mathematician.
Oh, that's good.
I had a sports science.
Oh, really?
I mean, you name it. But what I did is I trained them on the tool.
Mm-hmm.
I trained them on how to find the data, how to look for anomalies in the data, how to look for, once we found an anomaly, how to mark it so that we could tag it for a future reference. So that when we needed to come pull it again, you're talking about millions and millions of records, transactions, real property, assets, you know. So talk about how the Army is a corporation, right? The Army Reserve is a corporation.
Yeah.
And you have finance, and you have every department under the corporation you have in the Army, right? And so just thinking about how many areas were in good shape on the record-keeping-wise and how many weren't. What we came back to find out is that the first and second set of consultants that had come through before us had a lot of miscoded information because they didn't have a true understanding of what the military did.
Yeah.
So that's also, as a consultant, sometimes if you are not versed, well versed in the area of what you're consulting in and who you're supporting, then your understanding of that product and your understanding of that service is not as good as the person who does it every day, right?
Yeah.
So it's our job to be able to engross ourselves in that service, in that occupation, in that process, and then say, okay, how am I going to make a difference on this task? Does that make sense? And so when I got in there, I just said, hey, I'm here to do my job. I have to figure out what the best course of action is to get this data corrected. And so I basically, I whiteboarded, I drew out where all the problem areas were for the Army Reserve spending and reconciliation. And then we started breaking up into project teams and then into even down to the transaction level. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So you talk about each transaction that went in. If you pulled transactions for each, and all transactions in the Army are based, and on the Army Reserve are based on location, right? So a location is allocated the dollars, and then that colonel or general that owns that location is the financial manager for that, in addition to the financial managers that he has appointed along the way, whether it be staff from the government, contractors, or Army Reserve personnel. And so what was happening is you have, first off, the consultants came in, they screwed up the data, so we came through, we fixed that portion of the data, and then we were able to get them to a point where they could understand what was in front of them, and then we could correct the entries, correct the dollar values, correct the transactions. And in the process, we caught, unfortunately, you know, you have fraud that comes out in everything. So when somebody looks at data with a trained eye, you're going to find things that just don't stand out right, right? They don't make sense. And so those things that didn't make sense, well, we deep dive into those, and sometimes we find it's just an error, and sometimes we find that it wasn't.
Yeah.
And so at some of the bases, I found several fraudulent activity. A lot of people were convicted of their issues on a side note, right? So I didn't go for that. I didn't go to find
that wasn't your goal, convict,
but if I find it, then I report it.
And
I build a report, build that case to support what had happened and what did not happen, right?
Yeah.
So this person used this old tool, made these fraudulent activities, used P cards for small stuff that wasn't theirs. And there was levels of investigation that we didn't even get into, right? So we backed off of it because of the numbers, the dollar values being insignificant.
And
so $1,000 or $2,000. So it seems like an insignificant amount, but yes, so many cases. Which one do you look for, right? How many can you chase? So we had to chase the bigger ones. But when it was all said and done, we were able to catch people making bad purchases on purpose, people making bad purchases using the wrong systems on accident, right?
Yeah.
A lack of training, a lack of discipline. So all in all, though, our claim to fame as a team and me leading that team there was that we were able to help the Army Reserve pass the audit on the first run.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the only military division that passed the audit on the first pass.
Wow. Right?
So you talk about Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, Marines, Army Reserve, and then of course you have Air Force Reserve and all those.
Yeah.
The Army Reserve was the only one that passed the audit in the first run. And I led the team to help them, but the team is the one that did the work, right?
That's amazing.
They're the ones that put the time in.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day at what they call all hands, they call it battle call. So everybody would come in and they would talk about the folks that are getting deployed, who's coming back, news on base, news for the Army, news for the Army Reserve. And basically it's a rah-rah about the month's activities and what's coming up for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So one of those activities, they call me up and they said, hey, you know, we went through the audit, we passed. And to me, I just did my job, right? So I wasn't... I never expected anything, but I got a Army Commendation Award, which was pretty impressive. I didn't know the magnitude of it until, you know, weeks later or whatever. I sent it to my boss, and he was like, you know, this is like real deal. You know that,
that's
right?
That's incredible.
Now, he was a retired colonel, and he was also a current Army Reserve colonel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he was a retired as a colonel, and then he came to work for our firm. He was my boss. He'd worked for him for several years, but... Over time, I figured out that this was a big deal. And so I still think I just did my job, right?
You know? Yeah.
But they saved, and then tunes of like, we rectified something like $6-7 billion in bad purchases, bad transactions. We got their funding right. So the Army Reserve, when we left, was in the best position it had been financially.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's probably... hopefully in the same, you know, you don't know how that
stuff
goes. So it's only as good as the people who run it, right?
This
so
is true, yeah.
If they use the tools, they may still get out of hand, but at least they know where they should be and how they should have done, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the historical event was me winning the Army Commendation for my own personal gain in my family. That's something that civilians don't get very often.
Yeah.
30-something years ago, they gave one away. So they had given one that I got, and I just... thought it was an award, right? But you know, who knew? But and the other side was that the Army was able to correct their operations, and the most significant part, I guess, is being able to say that they passed the audit in the first round.
Yeah.
And so then, like anybody else, they're going to have findings in their audit, but they actually had findings that were you know, things that we knew they were going to find. We just didn't know how to categorize them.
Yeah,
right? So we categorized them as we saw fit, but the auditor thought it should sit somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the next auditor, he might think it would have been something else.
Yeah.
Or if one guy finds 10 items, the next guy might find 10, but a different 10. Or a combination of those 10. Does that make sense? You know, so I remember the audits that they did find, the things that were only, I think, out of all the transactions and records, that the most impressive part was 5 records. And we knew of the 5 records that they'd found, we knew... what was wrong with them. We knew several ways how to fix them. We just didn't know how the Army wanted to categorize them.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So it wasn't that we didn't know about them. it's just we wanted to wait for somebody else's opinion. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah. And
it worked out pretty well. The general who I was working for, he got another star, so he got promoted. The colonel became a lieutenant general. The major became a lieutenant colonel, right? So everybody got promoted because of it. My family, I got a all-expense-paid vacation for my wife and I for 7 days through the corporation
mm-hmm.
after the government sent a bonus to the corporation, said, hey, we want to financially reward Mr. Menchaca in his efforts, right?
That's so amazing.
To me, it was just like, hey, I got a free vacation, right?
Yeah.
It was all expense paid, which is pretty neat, right?
Yeah.
Somebody say, pick anywhere you want to go, right? And so that was pretty cool. But that's, I would say, for the Army Reserve, it was a good day.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Army Reserve is in better shape than some of the other entities, but it's their tenacity, and under this general, it was the tenacity to want to learn,
mm-hmm.
To correct, to bring to light the wrongs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, definitely.
And not be afraid of what the politics were going to be, right?
Because yeah.
if the general were afraid of what people might say, he wouldn't have given us rein to correct it.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So I was successful at that institute because of the general's ability to relinquish control.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Say,
yeah.
Hey, I know I've got a situation. I cannot fix it, but I know y'all can. So tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So had he not done that, we'd have failed like everybody else.
Because
mm-hmm. the Navy failed. The Air Force failed, and miserably, right? And we had teams, as a corporation, we had other teams at those same locations. So
yeah.
I had counterparts I had colleagues that were working for the Army. I was working for the Army Reserve. I had colleagues working for the Air Force, and they all failed. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that my solutions are the best. I do know I put my best foot forward,
mm-hmm.
but it would be successful because the colonel allowed us to fix it. The general allowed
yeah.
us to fix it. The major allowed us to fix it.
Did
sense?
They take the same amount of time that y'all did, or did they take the allotted 3 weeks?
No, so everybody what happened ended up happening is that I sold the project on a longer term basis that for us to deep dive. After we got in for the 3 weeks, we realized it was a bigger issue than just 3 weeks. Does that make
mm-hmm,
sense?
It yeah.
was gonna be months and months of issues. And so once we sold the services to the Navy, to the Army Reserve, one of my colleagues sold it to the Navy. And then somebody else said, hey, what's going on here? And then somebody else sold it to the Navy Reserve.
Okay.
And, you know, still within the same firm, based on what the Army Reserve was trying to accomplish, others followed suit. A few
mm-hmm.
of them did not. The Air Force, they did not.
Yeah.
They failed miserably, right? So each command made a choice. Because each one's a corporation, right?
Yeah.
And so each one made a choice, oh, we're going to follow suit and deep dive into this issue, and
mm-hmm.
others did not, right? So luckily, you know, I put it on the general. I will save his names, but I put on the general to that it was his ability to say, please help us fix it,
mm-hmm.
is what, and being humble. Does that
yeah.
make sense? Saying,
definitely.
Hey, I'm lost here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not my cup of tea, but it is yours to help us fix. So help us fix this. Where other, let's say if it was a Navy admiral, he may not have been as humble. And
yeah.
so they may have struggled, right? So even the fact that we passed the audit and other folks did not, and that it had a significance for my family and all those involved in that circle,
mm-hmm.
others failed miserably, and the opposite happened. People were demoted and people
yeah.
were retired and arrested.
Yeah.
And so you think about but if you think about how many dollars the government uses, their biggest operational cost are the military.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
The military. It's the biggest, it's the biggest fund source for the country.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so most folks don't understand how big it is. I would say second would be like, you know, housing and HUD and some of those, but it's just kind of amazing how it all came together and that we did our part. I did my part to help the government, not in a selfless manner. So it doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
what it's going to take for me to leave my family, yeah. you know, 18 months. It seems like it was crazy, right? So, but it went by so fast because it was intense, getting work in, work out, long days, long hours, yeah. travel. But having a good team, you know, we picked a good team and we were able to help them do their work, right?
So that's absolutely amazing.
I hope it's still the same way.
I hope so too.
So, yeah, but we'll see.
Yeah that's yeah. amazing. Is there any last words that you would like to let anybody know, whether it's regarding the moral of the story or?
I guess the main thing to say is do what's right, mm-hmm. no matter what is going on, right? Even when folks aren't looking, do what's right. If that's your corporation's purchase card, don't swipe it unless you're supposed to, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it'll be okay. But that's real simple, but do the right thing no matter what. Mm-hmm. So that's
awesome. All I can say. Thank you so much for sharing your story, absolutely. For sharing your time with me. And that is the end of this interview. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Absolutely.